This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery. My name is Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by Dave.
Evening.
And Ross Cooper.
Evening, mate.
How are we doing, chaps?
Good. Yeah. I didn't get a surname, but I don't want him.
Wow, I had to distinguish.
Very formal, Ross. Oh, yeah.
I didn't want people to think they had to listen to Ross Spence for the next hour.
Exactly. Well, I know a lot of people who they listen to the intro. As soon as they hear it's Ross Spence, they switch off. So
yeah,
hopefully listeners will carry on a bit longer through the pod this week.
Yeah, I wanted to ensure listener figures for this week. So just let everyone know it is Ross Cooper we've got tonight. But yeah, chaps, how we feeling? Obviously, last podcast was after the United semi-final. Haven't done one since, so we've got a fair bit to get through, but doing this the night after the Ipswich game, how are you both feeling about things over the last couple of weeks or so?
I think in the bigger picture, I mean, I think the Man United game clearly was obviously the peak of the season. We knew that actually before that game, a couple of results hadn't been great. The Birmingham game, obviously, in particular, but Cardiff, as well, meant really that the playoffs were an outside shot going into the Man United game. So I think everything that happened in that game, I think the results afterwards have been pretty predictable. I guess the only surprise for me is that we didn't lose to Blackburn, to be honest. And there's obviously some real disappointment. I'm sort of a bit tired of Robin saying the same thing about tiredness. But, there's probably obviously something in it, but it's a shame to see the performances from where they were not that long ago, even against the Leeds game, for example, to see how they've dropped. And certain individuals are sort of just wilting in front of our very eyes in terms of game after game, which is obviously disappointing. It's probably more individuals rather than the team performance because, finishing 7th, finishing 10th. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, sort of who cares, going into next year. But there's a few players who I think are not doing themselves any favours.
Yeah, for sure. We'll obviously get into some of that as well. Dave, it's been, sort of tough couple of weeks, hasn't it? Obviously, as Ross said, that moment at Wembley, those moments at Wembley, such an emotional day. And then you go and try and carry on the league. It's very tough, isn't it? And sort of felt like a bit of a come down from the cup really the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think we probably came away from Birmingham actually and thought that probably could be it anyway. We always knew it was going to be tough from there on, but looking at some of the results, they have gone the way that we would have wanted them to go. And sadly, we haven't, you know, we haven't held up our end of the bargain. Wembley will be, you know, it was amazing. You know, for that split second that we thought we were in an FA Cup final was absolutely incredible. But it's a shame to see how that may have probably been what's tarnished the remainder of the season. And I think I agree with Ross. It's frustrating to see some of the individuals' performances really, really slip, because as a team, we've still created chances. We've still not been too far away. And we're going to talk about Ipswich. But, you know, we had opportunities to score there, you know, more than the Haji Wright goal. And also the same at Blackburn. You know, Kelly hit the post from near range. So we've had chances in these games, but it's been individual errors that have let us down. And you cannot give teams a goal or two goals in this league. You just can't.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, that sort of started with the whole game. You know, we're obviously very tired from the FA Cup game, Ross, but, you know, we sort of shot ourselves in the foot really in this game, didn't we? It was, again, defensive errors that let them get back into the game or take the lead again, should I say. And, yeah, just completely shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, that is the theme of this week's pod, is shooting ourselves in the foot. I honestly can't remember the first whole game. Remind me. It was, I know it was a nonsense.
It was the Collins howler, wasn't it? That was the first
goal. Oh, of course it was. Yeah, that's why. Up the other end, and just, I don't know what, you know, in this big game, that was the big game. We went into that game knowing I probably need four wins, but actually three wins and a draw, depending on Norwich and West Brom. And actually, as Dave said, West Brom have slipped up. Three wins and a draw probably would have been enough. And we went into it and just conceding a goal like that. And just, how many times have we gone behind this season? It feels like, particularly in this run of form where we've not kept clean sheets, we're always giving ourselves a mountain to climb. And again, that was just a pathetic goal. And I say this so many times, but we're not the beneficiaries of goals like that. We're always, you know, we always just do it to ourselves. And yeah, and then you just give yourselves a mountain to climb. And then just to compound a goal like that, you know, the Hull players perform their pre-choreographed stupid celebration to your corner, and that wound me up no end. it was a disappointing start, wasn't it? And that almost set the tone, really, for this run of games, I think.
Yeah, so it did set the tone, didn't it? And their third goal wasn't much better, was it, Dave? Just a bit of a calamity in the back, really. Poor communication. I felt like Collins thought it was a back pass, so he couldn't go in and dive at it. But yeah, just really poor at the back.
So he's frozen there. I'll jump in. But on that third goal, I have to say, obviously it's a poor back pass from Thomas, but what actually angers me about that goal is Brad Collins has to do better there, mate. Like he actually pulls out of clearing it. Like, to me, it's like if he takes the ball and wipes it clear, the chances are he might win a free kick, because the guy sort of will clatter him and the ref will see that he's been fouled and give a free kick to us. I mean, that just compounded it. I mean, the thing about that Wardy, mate, was the fact we'd just equalised. We'd actually started the second half really well, scored a really good, well-worked goal. Finally, a good ball from De Silva, and a good header from Thomas. And you think, right, we're back in the game. And I genuinely believed at that point we were gonna push on, and we had the momentum, and we were gonna win the game, and this was gonna be the start of possibly a late surge into the top six again. But then we just, again, shoot ourselves in the foot. I mean, you just can't believe what you're watching. It was just madness. I mean, Thomas did look absolutely dead out on his feet, and he has done ever since Man United. It was just a shambolic goal. I mean, two, and then the penalty, which was, you know, arguably outside the box. So all three of Hull's goals were just a shambles.
Yeah. And actually, the way you've just described that game, you could probably just copy and paste that to describe the Ipswich game last night, because exactly the same, you know. We got the equaliser. They started to look quiet. Their fans went a bit quiet. They seemed a bit nervous because they knew that if we scored again, their promotion chances were in tatters. It was that, you know, that bigger game for them. But exactly the same, wasn't it? We just sort of, you know, absolute calamity at the back, where we should have been the ones pushing forwards and going to kill off the game at home. And we have that sort of calamity at the back again. Disappointing, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I kind of feel like I understand the tiredness, but it kind of feels like we're trying to put, you know, pegs in square holes where they should be circles, you know. And like Latabotio for me is not, you know, he's there pretty much as a centre back in that header that he's, you know, nodded down. And it's just, we just seem to be so far off of it. And like you say, where actually all the pressure was on them, all of the pressure to get a result was on Ipswich. And I just think it's just so frustrating that these individual errors are just letting us down. You know, we had a chance, Collins, you know, chipped it out to one of their players, and they I don't know if it hit the bar or it was
hit the bar,
it was,
yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it was a carbon copy of pretty much what the first goal was. Once it was central position, you know, you can't be giving people free shots around the 25-yard box.
All of them are just gifts. I mean, even the first goal was just a shambles, wasn't it? And the shot from Kiefer Moore. You telling me? Well, actually, we saw it, didn't we? Kiefer Moore's shot actually is just straight down the middle of the goal. It goes through three bodies and a goalkeeper. Yet we then have a chance at the other end, and Palmer hits a shot wide, pinball around the area. Hadji Wright hits it, and the keeper saves it. I mean, you just can't write it. And then you talk about, like you say, Dave Collins chipping it out to the edge of the box, and then Latibodier did exactly the same, where him and Ben Sheaf did some 1-2s. No one cleared it. Hadji Wright had actually broken away and was going to be clear. Instead, they pass it around our own box. Latibodier, who just makes me look fast. And like he then just like passes it straight out again across your own box. I mean, it's basic stuff, you know, blind passes. And then they had another shot and Collins had to tip it over. And then you talked to the before off air, Dave, about Kelly. I forgot about that one where he, you know, should have let it go out for a throw in. He's tried to keep it in play and then hooked it straight back into danger again. And we just kept, I don't know what mission we were on. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I genuinely could not believe what I was watching in front of me. I was like, we've just equalised. They were like, Wardy, like you said, they were silent. They were nervous. Another goal. You know, we should have relished the opportunity to have like ended
ruined
their
night. Yeah.
Ruined their night. And we just went, no, here you go.
Yeah, it is a shame. Like you say, there just seems, I get the tiredness, but it seems a bit more than that. It seems like we're a little bit out of ideas at times and it's all a little bit lackluster. And I think, you know, I think players and fans want the end of season as much as each other, I think, yeah. at the moment.
What did you make of Casey Palmer's performance last night, chaps? Because obviously you probably saw my tweet about it. I mean, listening to the radio, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. Fan calling in saying that he thought Palmer had an excellent game, and Oggy was talking about him going to the Premier League, and I was just like, what game have they watched? Because it wasn't the same one I watched.
For me, I thought Palmer actually had an all right game last night. But look, I think I've said it time and time again, I think in critical positions, he makes the wrong decision. But actually, he did play quite a few decent through balls last night, I thought. And actually, we just weren't quite up to him. There's one through to Sims. He probably should have looked at playing it off to Wright, who was, you know, free, but he went round. I think there was another one that was headed on, or he did like a back flick, didn't he, which was trademark.
That one was annoying at the time.
But I think it's when you combine the whole game defensively, he's not always there defensively, is he? And I've always said it when you have a player that is in that sort of free role, a luxury, you've got to have luxury with it. And I think sometimes he's a luxury player without the luxury. And that's, you know, something for him to work on in the summer.
What did you make of it, Ross?
Well, yeah, see, I'm through the season. I don't know about you, Wardy, mate, but unlike Dave, I've been a much bigger fan of Palmer. I think there's actually been periods of the season where he has looked better than O'Hare because of his sort of extra sort of height and physique. I think at times he has all the attributes. When he's really on it, when you see that real fire with him, and yes, he'll always give the ball away, he'll always be infuriating, but that final pass, more often than not, is probably the difference when he's playing at his peak, the difference between him being a championship player and any higher. Although I have to say, the last two home games, I'm pairing Ipswich and Hull together because I felt like they're literally carbon copies. I thought he was dreadful in both of them. And he just, someone, what was the word? Sort of swaggers around the pitch off the ball. now and then, like I say, when he's up for it, you'll see him sprinting 40 yards. He'll slide, he'll block a clearance, and we're thinking he's on it today, and he looks so super sharp. I mean, he didn't play against Man United. So this tiredness thing is a nonsense. And it's also a nonsense because Haji Wright, who's played 50 games, he doesn't actually look tired to me. I think he actually still looks pretty good. But on Casey Palmer, I mean, he has got all the tools, and I guess that's what frustrates me. And I've been a big advocate for him all season. But I just think sometimes, I mean, he gave away the free kick. Needless, right on the touchline, didn't have to do it. And again, it's like, I think I said this to Dean on the message. Casey Palmer plays the game sometimes. He tries to play that pass that no one else sees. Like you see it in Match of the Day, you see De Bruyne plays these passes and you go, no one else saw it. There's a reason why Casey Palmer plays these passes and no one else sees him, because it's not on. Because he tries to do a reverse pass when it's not on, but it's almost like he's trying to do it because it's like, well, that would be the right thing to do, but no one else is making the run. I do feel like he had no legs around him, to be fair, you know, because like Dave said, he is a luxury player. So when he's playing cam, I mean, where was he playing yesterday? I saw him on all three positions at different times. I didn't think he knew where he was playing. I was really disappointed with him yesterday, and I don't know what Oggy was talking about, mate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought especially in the whole game as well, because I thought, We were really tired from Wembley, and we did need the fresh legs. And he was one of the only players in that team that had fresh legs. So we just needed a bit more out of him, really, against Hull. Obviously, the Blackburn game as well. Dave, what do you make of that? I feel like we got away with it big time there. Didn't create much at all. And I think they should have killed us off, really, and secured their survival.
Yeah, it was another just a bit timid, wasn't it? We didn't really threaten. We had, again, like I say, Kelly hit the post, didn't he? But the thing is, I mean, Kelly's done a job. You know, he's had to do a job in positions. But we just, again, I can't think of any, apart from that, I can't think of any really clear cut. There was one, I think Haji Wright had one, maybe, where I think he put it just wide. But other than that, I can't think of any chances that we actually had. It was a little bit of a nothing game, but they definitely had the lion's share of it. And I do think that, I think, you know, Eustace was sent off, wasn't he, for having a ruckus with Casey Palmer. I think that's probably because he could sense that they're on the cusp of getting a result, you know, and he felt that Palmer's probably time-wasting or whatever.
Ross Kitchen got his third red card of the season. Few people questioning his discipline record, which I thought, it's not really a disciplinary issue as such. It's quite different to Hamer, where he was like flying into things and like a bit hot-headed and needed to sort of be coached out of him. I actually think he's been a little bit unlucky, because one wasn't his fault. One was the Sheffield Wednesday incident, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it? Was it
Boxing the headbutt, yeah, him and Bambo Diaby.
Which wasn't his fault at all. And then the other two have been last man, which can happen to anyone. And actually, I'd argue it's our own fault. It's our own doing, right? Because I think it was Kelly who lost the ball and then they broke at us. So I think he's been a little bit unlucky. What have you made of it, Ross?
Yeah, I think, with the Norwich and the Blackburn ones, I do think he's been in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think like you say, Kelly's given it away. I'm sure we gave it away. It might have been Eccles against Norwich. And again, it was one simple ball through. I've seen some criticism at Kitchen. Now, I think if you, again, with like the whole squad, if you erase this sort of last chunk of games, when we went on that unbelievable run from Stoke 0-0 at home in November, Kitchen and Thomas, they were unbelievable. Kitchen was absolutely like class in my view. I thought he was like, he came in and he was like really settled and he was looking really, really good. Yes, he gave the ball away at times, but he was trying to be positive. He has had a bit of a slump in form, but seemingly everyone has. There's not anyone really who's sort of been a spark in this sort of while the team sort of suffered. And yeah, I don't question his discipline. I think it's frustrating. And obviously the couple of own goals, I think those sort of moments coupled together, three red cards, that weird own goal against Cardiff, you sort of go, oh, it's a little bit dodgy, but he'll learn from that. You know, he's a young player. And I think, like Robin said, I think he was quite bullish in saying, you know, he's got to learn from it. And I think he'll have to. It's a shame because he'll miss the first game of next season. But we've got to be better. Like, you know, and we can't be giving the ball away in the positions that we have to allow it to be literally one pass through and then they're in on our goal. I think the Blackburn one's more annoying because he did just tug him down. Like Norwich, he actually made an attempt to play the ball. Josh Sargent was just a split second too quick. Whereas Blackburn, he did just sort of cynically bring him down, didn't he? So, yeah, it's one of those. I'm a fan of Kitchen, but I think he's going to be a good player.
Dave, I know you've had some question marks over us defensively and certain individuals. What do you think we need to do in the summer or next season to sort of stop this, stop conceding so many goals?
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. I do think we need to look at a goalkeeper, a very solid, you know, number one that's going to come in. It feels like for a lot of seasons now, I feel like when Simon Moore first came in and he had that first season, it was like, right, we've finally got a number one, if that makes sense. And then ever since then, it feels like it's kind of been a little bit in out. We've not really committed. Okay, Ben Wilson kept, you know, really good clean sheet the year before, but I think I always think that Robbins felt that he was still going to be a number two. Hence why he went out to go and get, you know, Collins. So I would like that to be looked at. I think Bobby Thomas started the season, for me, I thought he was going to be player of the season. I thought he started absolutely unreal. And, you know, he was, you know, not only was he very confident, he was good, he was great in the air, he was great with the ball at his feet, but he's also got that little bit of grit that you need. Like, he will go through someone and you do need that because it just sets the tone sometimes. But his performances have dropped off a little bit. I just think there doesn't seem to be... It's difficult because when Ross said about those two, you know, going on that long run that we had, those two were you know, superb. And that's where the Kitchen Thomas song came because they were so solid. But I just think they need a proper centre-back to go with one of them. I think that's what I would say. They just need a bit of a helping hand. I'm not sure. I think they're great individually, but I just think that they need someone in there to help them out. Yeah. A bit like a Fads character, but younger and quicker.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. And I saw a few people today talking about it on Twitter around, obviously, we've got the model at the club of like bringing young players in and developing them, Ross, which has obviously worked very well for us. But do you think we might be just lacking experience in certain areas of the pitch? And do you think this summer we do need to maybe sign someone with proven championship experience, maybe in the midfield or in the defence, to kind of spur us on a bit more next season and get us to where we need to be?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think if we can get someone who's got, you know, championship experience, that doesn't mean they have to be old. Do you know what I mean? There could be a 24 or 25 year old who's had four, you know, full seasons in the championship. So I think some of our fans might think, oh, experienced player, that means that it's 30 plus. Clearly, you know, that is not the model what we want. I think it's also worth bearing in mind that your likes of Bobby Thomas, your Liam Kitchens, they've now had a full season in the championship. This was their season of stepping up from League One, got to bear in mind. And I think they'll be better for that. Same with Van Ajvac, same with all the new signings, you know, and so that will be extra experience. I think there are some players out there who could be 24, 25, 26 years old, who we could be getting to be in their prime and we could try and snap up who have maybe already played a couple hundred games or so in the championship. I think centre-back and midfield is key. I also think, bearing in mind on that run, when we talk about Thomas and Kitchen, we had the full-back settled and you know, Bidwell and Van Ajvac were playing really well. And also Collins, that was when he came in and looked and was actually looking like a bit of a breath of fresh air, you know, with his sort of composure and everything. I've not seen a guy wilt in front of my eyes quite as much as Collins. Like, he actually looks feeble between the sticks. Like, I watch him and it's like... Dino, I know you're listening to this. And Dino, if you're listening, I apologize. You were right. Dino sat next to me. I can't remember what game it was. And he was hammering Collins. And I thought he was being so harsh because he said how he parried everything down. And I was like, no, he's just cushioning it. But, you know, he seems to have a bit of confidence about him. But I don't know. He looks sapped of it. Like, I don't know. And I think that has a big effect. I think if you don't trust your goalkeeper, I think that affects the central defenders. And I agree with Dave. we do need a goalkeeper, and it's the one position we haven't got right, isn't it? You know, when you think about it, like Dave said.
Yeah, it's really, I find the goalkeeper situation really strange over the last couple of years, to be honest, because just like the ethos of like Moore got dropped because he made what, 2 or 3 mistakes in a row, and then has he even played a game since then? I don't think he has. And then to sort of have 2 okay goalkeepers, all right, Wilson got the golden glove, but you know, I think that's more down to our defence last season. But 2, yeah, average goalkeepers at this level who have made plenty of mistakes between them, haven't they? And Simon Moore just hasn't had a look in whatsoever. I don't know whether some of that comes from his point of view, that he just doesn't want to play for us. But very strange situation, isn't it, Dave? To have someone not even sitting on the bench, just turning up to training and getting paid a nice weekly salary, and that's about it.
It's bizarre because, you know, by the same rule of Robbins himself, you know, and this is what I would say, that Robbins has got to relegate Collins to a complete number 2. Like, he has to, because the mistakes that he's done since Southampton and Hull and last night, they golf the mistakes that even, you know, Simon Moore and Wilson have made, to be honest, in my opinion. So if he's following that same letter of the law, he's got to bring him out. Like, and that, I'm quite surprised that he started, personally.
Agreed.
So I don't, because I thought that Robbins, for me, seems like a manager that's always, sounds harsh, but he's always looking for an opportunity to make sure people don't go above their stations, that there's still competition for places. And he's done that. He's ruled that with an iron fist. Whether that comes from him or AD, I don't know. But they have definitely done that in the past. You make a mistake that is you know, critical or game losing, and you're gone for a good couple of weeks.
Interesting, Dave. Just thinking, listen to what you said there, and I completely agree. But he did it with Collins, and that when he took him out against Stoke away, that was where I felt pretty unanimously people were like, that's a strange one, because he just put Wilson back in. And I think, feel like since that time he was taken out and then he was put back in a couple of games later,
Wilson really doing anything.
No, exactly.
That's the thing. I think it was an FA Cup game between it.
It was all weird. I couldn't work out whether he wanted to try and get Collins to start against Maidstone because he thought then that's the quarterfinal or whatever. But I mean, even Watford, I remember listening to commentary, CWR and Oggy after the whole game, and Oggy went through, even prior to Southampton, since that Stoke game, Watford, even though we won the game, his positioning for, you know, being lobbed from that header and all these other goals, ever since he got taken out the side and then put back in, he's looked like a completely different player. Because at that Stoke game, I don't think there was anyone going, Collins has got to come out. Like, you know, what was the game just before? We'd just drawn to Plymouth. I don't remember him being at fault, really, for either of the goals against Plymouth. You know, it was terrible. It was another own goal.
But didn't they say, like, people were then thinking, well, has he been brought out because it's tiredness? It's like, he's a goalkeeper.
Oh, mate, there was something. Then there was rumours about, I don't know, you know, stuff with Robbins. I don't know, but he's not been the same player since.
I don't remember those rumours.
The rumours were basically...
Sorry, I have to know.
So again, this is rumours that apparently someone took something from, like, stole something from, like, a box or something, one of the players, and then he sided with them, and then Robbins was like, united the team or something.
Good.
I thought it was going to have some sort of substantial...
No, but anyway, but
where did,
like,
you read this, Ross?
That's a brilliant
one. Dino told me.
Dino told you.
Dino,
oh, right,
Dino sources. But no, he's not been the same player, Wardy, has he? I mean, he looks like a stick man in the goal. Like, he looks so small now.
Yeah,
like,
he does. He looks terrified of everything. But
the balls that come back to him, you know.
Yeah, you just feel so nervous. But having said that, he has, like, shot-stopping-wise, been okay.
He actually has.
But
yeah.
Like, last night, he actually made a few decent saves against Ipswich.
It's funny you say that, because I was just about to say, yeah, I've literally just watched back the highlights from the last 3 games, and he made close-range saves against Blackburn, to be fair. There has been.
I think it's a confidence thing, though, isn't it? Because, like, as a goalkeeper, how you sort of command your area and how you, you know, get the defence in shape and that kind of stuff, that's where you need confidence in yourself. Shot stopping is probably more of a muscle memory thing, isn't it? That you, you either have or you don't have. So it's definitely something mentally, I think, that's, you know, a confidence thing with him.
You need a goalkeeper. Like, I want to see a sign a goalkeeper who's got that sort of relentless confidence. You look at someone like that Palmer at West Brom or Hermanson at Leicester, right? Young player, he's an asset. He's made mistakes for Leicester, but regardless, he's got that sort of Kasper Schmeichel, ruthless, just will do the same thing. Like, he's just confident. Like, we've got goalkeepers who look like they make one little half mistake and suddenly that's them shot to bits. And whereas I want a goalkeeper, like Kieran Westwood made mistakes, but you felt like he had that self-belief the whole time. And we need to sign a goalkeeper who's in the mould of our other signings. Someone that we go, you know what, he's going to go on to bigger, better things than us. And he's going to take us on that journey. Whereas when we signed Collins, I feel like he's at his ceiling. Yeah. I felt like when we signed him, we need someone who we go, you know what, this guy's quality. You know, he might make the odd little mistake, but he's got that personality. He exudes that. He's commanding. I mean, we're so quiet. Like, there's a fan in front of me who's louder than our whole back line, you know, like in front of me in the second half. It's just, I don't know what you think.
It ripples through as well, doesn't it? Because that sort of nervous energy seems to carry on. I mean, the passes that we play when it starts to get tight in that across the box at the moment, you're just waiting for it, aren't you? You're just waiting for it to break down into a goal scoring chance for the other team, because we seem to just be, everything seems to be very hurried, I felt, across that back line. You know, and I'd say, you know, Kitchen and Thomas, I don't think their distribution's that great, but you'd have to say, like, Latty, like, his some of the passes, you know, they're just not quite getting there, and that has a knock-on effect, because then the next pass is short and then the next pass is stretching for it, and before you know it, you've relinquished the ball.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
QPR on Saturday, chaps. Be nice if we can kind of see out the season in a positive way, Ross. I know, obviously, neither side have anything to play for, but, you know, it's Legends Day, that sort of final game of the season. It would be nice if we could get a win, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. You know, I think just to spare the sanity of Sky Blues talk and Coventry City Twitter's fans' sanity, I think we need, otherwise... I mean, if you've been on social media today or the forum, I think people are already, you know, I've seen all sorts of nonsense. But yeah, we need to get a win. I think, like Dave said at the top of the pod, it does feel like everyone sort of just wants to get it. Even Robin sounded a bit like that yesterday, that he just wants to get the season done. He was like, we've got one more to go, as if like it's the biggest chore. And I was like, I know. And he was like, we'll cobble together a team. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so look, it'd be nice to finish on a win. It'd be nice if Hadji Wright and Sims could both score and get to 20 goals each for the season. I think that'd be something to work off. And I think there are some real shining positives from the season, and in terms of players who I think next year with the right reinforcements could be really good. QPR got nothing to play for, so it's going to be a packed CBS. Let's finish on a positive note so we can go to the summer with that bit of optimism, rather than, because otherwise if we don't win, it'll be like six games without a win to end of the season, which won't be ideal.
Yeah, and it's just the way it gets left, isn't it? Like, obviously, final game of the season, the players go around at the end and all that, don't they, Dave? And like, you just want it to be on a positive note, like give the fans something to cheer about and clap the players off in a positive way. You don't want it to be like a bad result where they almost get booed off and then no one stays behind to clap them off and all that. Like, we don't really want that, do we? Especially on Legends Day.
No, exactly. Look, it's, I think, knowing they've only got one left, I think you will see a performance, actually. I think that they'll be, you know, they're professionals and they'll be very, very frustrated at what's happened over the last couple of weeks. And it does feel like they just haven't been able to, you know, harness the energy at times to be able to go, you know, to the lengths that they've got to beat, let's be honest, probably some of the toughest opposition, you know, in the league, in Hull, in Southampton, you know, Ipswich as well. So, you know, they haven't been easy games, but yeah, I think a positive performance will help everyone. And then people will start, you know, talking about what's going to happen in the summer.
Ross, what did you make of the lineup for Legends Day? Reece Charles-Cook coming back, massive Cov legend.
Well, didn't he like match Oggy's record or something of like with a clean sheets or something? When it like League One,
really?
he did go on. He holds or like equals like a really like a record that Oggy had or something. Yeah, that year with Mowbray. When he was like,
right. Yeah.
Early on, he was like playing quite well. But yeah, now there are some legends that I can't wait to give some big ovations for. So yeah, no, it's always good though, and I'm sure we'll see him in the casino after. I'm sure it's bumping to Dave Bennett again. Yeah, I've seen Dave Bennett a couple of times. He loves it. It should be good. It'll be a nice occasion. It's nice that it's the last day of the season. It'd have been nice if there was something riding on it. But I think you just see it, like Dave said, like hopefully that motivation. I think we know we're as good a team as anyone on our league when we've got that fire in our belly and that motivation and that energy. We've seen it, Leeds, Leicester, Wolves, Man United, you know, when we're second half and extra time. There's been countless games where we've done that, but then there's games where we sort of, I don't know, just don't, Cardiff at home, pressing at home where we're off it, and then we end up slumping to defeat. So we've been inconsistent, but this is an opportunity to finish on a high. And then the summer meltdown on social media can begin.
Bring it on. Dave, have you done your player of the season vote through the club today for the deadline?
I haven't actually, to be honest. No. Is it today?
It is today. But you can save it for the Skybies Extra end of season pod. But I was just curious who you might both have voted for on that.
I have cast my vote. Did it yesterday.
Who did you go for?
So I went for. There was two players who I narrowed it down to.
You did it on two different laptops.
Yeah, no. Doug King will have me. Yeah, he knows. He's got.
He'll hunt you down, mate. He'll revoke your season ticket.
Yeah, yeah. Not like those stewards who protected the Ipswich fans in the box yesterday. Bizarre. So there were some honourable mentions. I think Sakamoto, up until his injury, I think was probably on course to probably get my vote. It then came to me between Haji Wright and Ben Sheaf. And I actually voted for Haji Wright. And a couple of reasons. Ben Sheaf's only played 35 games. Haji Wright will get up to 50 against QPR. Wow. He's stepped into the big, enormous shoes, probably the biggest shoes anyone's had to fill in 20, 30 years of Victor Gyökeres going. He's got 19 goals in all competitions and 6 assists. So that's 25 goal contributions. He could increase that. So he's already got 25 goal contributions in, say, 50 games after Saturday. Let's say he doesn't score or assist. He's played off the left. I think he's done remarkable. I mean, he's one goal off what Gyökeres got in his first season, you know, permanently. And he's come from abroad. He's had to deal with the pressure of record signing and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, you know what? Haji Wright gets my vote.
Oh, you make a very compelling case.
I was going to say, I might change my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I log back on and change mine now?
It's true. When you put it like that, you know, and this is the thing, like, sadly, a lot of people do remember the negatives. And I remember his first touch going off the pitch, you know, at times or something like that. But he has had a remarkable season, actually, you know, and some of the big moments. It's been from him, hasn't it?
I mean, yeah, the big, like, you know, when you think back to this season, what we'll remember for this season for a long time to come will be the Wolves goal, the penalty against United in the semi-final, and his penalty in the shootout, how cool he was in that moment. they're the things that will stick in your memory. And yeah,
well, you had some fans. Let's not forget. We got to
some
January.
Some
fans are going in January. Oh yeah, there's rumours that a Turkish team want to bid 3 million, and people are like, "Yeah, I'm driving there myself. Cut our losses and let's take him back." I mean, he's done. When you actually think about it, 16 league goals, 19 in all comps, some big goals in the FA Cup. I mean, what more could we have asked for? I think anyone would have probably gone, if he gets 15 goals, that's a great return, and then the assists as well. I think he's done very, very well. Had you right?
It's almost as if Mark Robbins knows what he's doing.
Almost. You know, people wanted Dylan Vente. Get him in, man. Two goals all season or whatever it is.
Yeah. It is funny when you look at the players that we nearly signed, or the players we've let go and where they are in comparison to our own squad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Jerry Yates is another one, wasn't it? All our fans wanted.
What's happened to him this season?
Swansea, didn't he? I haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah.
Has he done much there? They've had a poor season, haven't they?
Not particularly, you know, and they paid, you know, probably a couple of million for him. I just can't wait for the season to end. I can't wait for all our fans to speculate about getting former players back. You know, let's get the band back together once more. I've heard about getting Higham and McNally back together. Come on, let's do it. So Andy Griso would be delighted if that happened. But yeah, it's silly season's about to start, isn't it?
Dave, do you think we've got a genuine chance of mounting a challenge next year, maybe even beyond playoffs? How do you genuinely feel? I know there's going to be a big summer ahead, but what's your gut feel about where we'll be fighting?
Yeah, I think it all depends on outgoings, I think. And everyone starts to get a bit twitchy around this time. We know O'Hare's going. People are now starting to worry that Sheaf will go. I think that would be, you know, that would be a big part of our sort of backbone. It's really interesting, isn't it? Look, we'll definitely be there and thereabouts. And the reason is because we play really, really nice football and really, really good free-flowing attacking football. And that's always going to get you points and get you goals. And I think we've seen this season, if we'd have cut out some of those defensive mistakes, we would have been there, you know, and we were there or thereabouts. And whether we get more points or less points than last year, it's pretty much of a muchness, because we've not got any worse. And actually, We had a lot to do in the summer. We brought in a lot of players, a lot of change. You know, Jokeres, you know, arguably this season, if he'd have stayed, he would have gone on to have done even more. I mean, okay, he's playing in a Farmers League, and what he's done is incredible. But he would have probably gone on from last season. So I think you can only be optimistic in that Sims, in the last sort of 3 or 4 months, looks a completely different player. Hadji Wright has looked, like you say, no one's going to be driving him to some Turkey team in the summer now. They'll be keen to keep hold of him. And I think, you know, we've got Mason Efren Clark to come in. Sakamoto is the big one. I think it's a big injury to have. But yeah, we've definitely built a really, really, I think, good team. More than capable.
Ross, it's interesting, isn't it, how you sort of assess progress, isn't it, year on year? Because I think some people try and do it in real terms of like, have we improved our league position? But I feel like you've got to assess it slightly differently this year, because, and I was saying this to people, you know, if we'd snuck into the playoffs this year and lost in the playoffs, would we actually be better off or not? And I don't think we would, because I think another thing is how much time you have to prepare for the season. Takes another month out of your summer, doesn't it, being in the playoffs? If you don't make it, it's actually quite damaging. Like, don't get me wrong, it was great last year and it probably did some good for the fan base, and like people bought season tickets and everything and they're at Wembley. But I feel like this probably wasn't the year to lose in the playoffs. And actually, if we talk about progress, I think we need to talk about the platform we have to build upon to go into next season. And with a full summer ahead of us, I think we'll actually be far better off.
I couldn't agree more, mate. I think, couldn't agree more. I think we all agree, we know for a fact we had a slow start to the season, and we put that down to obviously the amount of new players we had, the player turnover, but also, like you said, we didn't finish our season to almost June, you know, and then We had a short break. We came back late, and all of that played a factor, played a part. We also lost in the playoff final on penalties, and we had a team of like 3, 4, 5 loanees. We had 2 star players who we knew were inevitably going to go, and the rest of the team were much of a muchness. Were like okay players. You know, if we're being totally honest, that 70 points we got last season would have got us, would get us nowhere near the playoffs this year. We'd already be done, sort of thing. You know, like we did get fortunate that teams last year kept losing. Blackburn and Millwall kept giving us chance after chance. And we had 2 star players who dragged us almost to the promised land. But I think, like you said, I said to you last year, I'd rather not get in the playoffs than get there and lose. I'm glad we did get to the Wembley last year, because I agree, I think for the club and the stature and everything, it's just, it propelled us on. But, and I put this on the forum earlier, we have 1 lone player who may well sign. We have a squad where anyone who gets, O'Hare is the only one of value who's going to go for free. And that's, he's like the last of like the Sisu era, if you like, of contracts and stuff. Anyone else, like people are getting worried about Ben Sheaf, or I've even sort of seen people say about Ellis Sims or whoever it might be. Why are people worried? Because Doug King got 20 million out of a guy with 1 year left on his contract. So if Ben Sheaf's going to go anywhere, surely I can sit here feeling very relaxed knowing that he's going to get every last penny out of that deal. Doug King's made it abundantly clear in the media and whatever else that get into the Premier League is the aim. He's not stupid. He'd have watched what we're watching. Robbins isn't stupid. He's watching what we're watching. We need a bigger squad. But I think we've got a much better foundation than we did this time last year when we knew that Gyökeres was going and we knew Hamer was probably going to go. Well, we're here going, well, Sheaf could go, but if he goes, we'll get 15 million. Anyone else, again, they're going to be better for it. So I agree. I think it's very exciting.
People are talking, aren't they, very much about on the pitch, but also from an off the pitch point of view. I don't think I can't remember when we've been in a position this great, to be honest, off the pitch. I mean, you've got to look probably, I don't know, almost Highfield Road era to think of when we'd be, you know, this sort of self-sufficient and this I don't know, just stable. It's almost an alien thought, isn't it?
When's the last time we made 2 marquee signings in January? All right, one of them had to go back on loan, but 2 massive signings in Jan, didn't we, Ross? There, you know, we've never done that.
No.
Since I've supported Cov.
No.
Spend what do we spend, 5 or 6 million in Jan?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Victor talked, right? People were going, oh, Hamish replacements, 2 million. It's like, well, yeah, double what Hamer cost us. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
progression.
So everyone was like tutting, going, that's a disgrace, not my king, you know, because we only spent 2 million on a central midfielder. And it's like, it's mad. Like the Brentford model, everyone talks about it, and everyone was like, when we had Sisu, we're like, oh, this is what we need to do, we need to invest, get these assets. And then the whole thing is, yes, we try and go with them, and eventually you will do, because if you keep, I mean, Mason Clark already, you can just see it with him. Like, he'll probably come in, tear it up, and then we'll be like, wow, there's another asset who's got 3 years left on his contract. Victor Torp, the same, he's got 4 years left on his contract. Hadji Wright, Ellis Sims, Van Aback. It's inevitable that he's going to go for big, big money. Well, he's got 3 years left on his contract from the summer. So it's like, we're in such a good spot. And like, and the other stuff about the club shop, for example, little things, the Coventry City dugouts in the stadium, the training ground. We don't look like a joke anymore. Like, we actually look like, I mean, the attendances. I mean, yeah, you have to go back to the start of the season when people were kicking up a fuss, you know, and I saw people on Twitter saying, Doug King spat in the face of the fans by upping the prices of season tickets. Well, record season tickets, you know, and obviously you said about meetings with companies. Who, I think the corporate take-up will be a lot more this coming next season. I think it's exciting, you know, and yeah, I think there's a lot to be happy about and excited and look forward. And actually, I think we need a break. I think we need a breather. Good God forbid if we made the playoffs this year. What on earth would Robbins be talking about till Christmas? Tiredness. So, you know, let them have a holiday and we'll see them in Portugal.
For the fans as well. I'm tired. I need a break. I need a lie down.
Go back travelling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been the record hasn't been great since we've been back either, so maybe I should. But yeah, no, Dave, lots to be positive about. And, you know, another thing people are obviously talking about now is season ticket sales, which seem to be pretty imminent. How do you expect that to go? Do you expect sort of similar numbers to this year? Do you expect that to increase? Obviously, a lot of excitement this year with Wembley and stuff. The fan base might grow again. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah, I think you've always made this point. A lot of people that want to go away now are going to have a season ticket. That's just inevitable. And there'll be, you know, more people that are going to be wanting to go to away games because they've enjoyed, you know, they might not have been going home and away like, you know, some of us would. And to enjoy it, they'll want to extend it to that. So I can see that's going to, you know, inevitably that's going to happen. I do think we'll have a small increase. I don't think it will be mass amounts, but I do agree with Ross. And I think that's really important that if we can actually start to look at those commercial revenues from the corporate, then, you know, I think sponsorship as well, shirt sponsors, you know, everything was all done a little bit quite rushed, you know, because we had the overhang of the playoffs. I think some people, you know, we had a 50-50% chance. And I think some people felt that we potentially would do the, you know, the miracle and the unbelievable. So when we didn't, it all felt like we had to scrap around a little bit for, you know, the shirt sponsor. The boxes wasn't really completely set until they were sort of happy. I think there's a bit more time off the pitch as well to get things in order the same way as on the pitch.
Yeah, I think the season tickets will be interesting. Yeah. I think that the way Doug King's been clever with it, I think he's created, there's almost like extra incentives to renew that aren't just about like calculating how many games you're going to go to. You know, when we were in League One, for example, it, you know, you could sit wherever you want. There was loads of seats available. There was no loyalty points in place. There was no limit on how many season tickets that they'd sell. So it's kind of like, oh, how many games will I go to? Is it worth it? Well, now it's like, if I don't renew, I lose my loyalty points. I lose my seat.
Anyone with 600 or 700 points, even from that point of view, are going to go, I can't afford to lose these 600 points.
And that's for someone with 600 points. I mean, imagine being Dino with a big fat zero.
Yeah, he could be on minus points.
He should. Financial fair play comes in. Dino, damn, minus points. I agree.
You know, he's been clever with it, hasn't he? How he's incentivizing. I mean, for me, like, obviously, I went away traveling. I didn't really have a choice but to renew my season ticket for this season, even though I've only been to 10 games, 12 games, whatever. Because if I didn't do it, I'd have lost my seat. Obviously, I love sitting in front of Dave and hearing him moan all game. And I lost my loyalty points. So, you know, I had no choice. So I think he's been really clever with it. And I think I agree with Dave. I think maybe not a massive increase, but I expect a few more people to get on board.
Yeah, I think we could hit 20,000. What we were this year, by half season. So I think if we could hit 20,000 seat tickets again, I think that would just be a monumental thing, you know, achievement. When you actually think, not that long ago, we were announcing that we'd sold 500. Do you know what I mean? On Twitter and stuff. So mad. I mean, the average attendance has been 25,000 this year is incredible. I think the reconfiguration of the away stand, and if we can start well and then hit those attendances and get it up to 30,000, you know, several times a season. I mean, our average attendance this year has been what a novelty attendance was in our first few years at the Rico. You know, we'd get it against Wolves and Leicester twice a year. We'd get 25,000. The rest would be 16, 17, 18. You know, and here we are, you know, getting great attendances. And I think people have really bought into it. I think the new shop, I think the new retail. I mean, there's little things like that where you go, we used to just sell a home shirt, away shirt and a water bottle. And now it's like...
And a screen wash.
And a screen wash. And now you can get, you know, and a gnome. And now you can get like all sorts of stuff. And I think people, I see so many people wearing so much different merchandise. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll see Miles walking around in his full onesie thing. Do you know what I mean? And you think...
They've done a lot with the retro stuff as well.
Oh, the retros, absolutely inspired. I mean, because we can all dress and look like Wardy now from that picture, you know, that they use on the club website. So, I mean, what's not to like about that? But no, it's great. And I think Doug King's very clever. He's clearly a businessman. When he went on TalkSport the other week, I'm never unimpressed. I'm always just like, yeah, he speaks a lot of sense, but he also gets it from the point of view that he wants a product on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? And he was quite... I like how he's very bullish. He doesn't try and pull the wool over your eyes. He literally says, you know, if we only have like 18,000-19,000 mucking up sort of thing, then yeah, we're mucking down like bottom half. That's no good for anyone. He wants the fans to turn up, and in return, it's like we've already got Mason Clark, 4 million coming in, one of the best players in League One. That's what we want. Yet there's some fans who still find things to moan about. Why are the away fans in the corner? Not my king.
I know what you mean, though. He's quite ruthless, isn't he? But yeah, I kind of like his approach. Like, I like one of the first things he ever said, really, that he was like, no one's profiting out of this. I'm not here to make a profit because it's football. No one buys a football club to make a profit unless you're really, really stupid. And it's like, you know, we all have to be part of the journey. We all have to chip in almost to make this happen.
100%.
You know, we can't just have an owner pump
money. There is only one, obviously, at the upper echelons, but there is only one lottery ticket, like, you know, winner, isn't there, in football, which is promotion to the Premier League. Like, that is it. And that is what is, you know, but he's been very, it feels very different to Operation Premiership, put it that way. It feels like it's a very calculated sort of trade-off, I guess, against expenditure, what we do, you know, with people coming in, with sales. It feels very calculated and measured, and that it almost feels inevitable. And I'm not saying I think we'll be in the Premier League this time, you know, next season or the season after or in 5 years. But I would have to say that, you know, I don't think anyone out there could be less confident that that is a large possibility, that we will be in a Premier League in 5 years' time, because everything is off the pitch and on the pitch, but mainly off the pitch, is all sort of, when you look at the clubs that have done it, okay, Ipswich are a bit of a one-off, but other than that, you look at the clubs that have done it, we are in that same sort of mould, it feels like now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I've never felt more confident, you know, that in my lifetime, that I actually believe it's going to happen, and we've got the right manager at the helm. You know, I think Operation Premiership and all that sort of stuff, it was just like you say, like slogans. Do you know what I mean? To appease the fans rather than having a calculated approach of, you know, and then what's key? People forgot about this last year. You know, when our outlay on transfer fees didn't quite match what we'd brought in, people were like, "Where's the money gone?" And people forget about wages. But what he's doing really clever is, because a transfer fee is a one-off payment, right, in a lot of cases, whereas wages are recurring. So in terms of the financial fair play and all that sort of stuff, if we've got that money coming in, we can go and be like, Peterborough will pay $4 million for Mason Clark. But as long as the wages are at that sustainable level, if every season we're selling one player, you know, for 15, 20 million, I mean, this year we've got the bonus of Jokeres going. Or if we can get to the Premier League, then you get the Premier League money. But then if we got to the Premier League this time next year and then someone wants Van Aback and you go 30 million, 35, do you know what I mean? Whatever. And then all of a sudden that's where we go. So reinvesting the transfer fees is the key thing while keeping the wages at a competitive but not an inflated level. And I think that's where fans need to remember that the idea of going out and, you know, like it's easy to, well, easy, it's better for us long term to go out and spend a couple of million on Victor Torp and his wage is going to be right manageable, rather than going and paying, you know, three times what he's on for a Championship player, and then suddenly that's what we're stuck to for four seasons. And I think he's very sensible in that way, and I think he's, I wouldn't want anyone else in charge, to be fair, because he gets it, you know. Or maybe William Story, think of all the £1 billion players we'd have signed if he was in charge.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like, you know, how many times do we have to develop a player and sell them on for a large fee for the fans to sort of have faith in the process? Do you know what I mean? It's like people panicking about Sheaf now. It's like, but like, you've got to remember how much we signed him for. Like, was it less than £1 million?
750k.
And it's like, you know, people talking about 10 mil, like, oh, that'd be really low or whatever, or 15 mil would be decent. It's like, we signed the guy for 750k. Do you know what I mean?
You can't win, though. Like, I swear, honestly, last season when Jokeres is going, I saw fans going, oh, because they bought what he wants. They're eating off Fabrizio Romano's tweets, because he put huge Coventry demanding huge fee, and then our fans are going, oh, just accept the money, Doug. Accept it. 14 million. What about his mental health? Accept the 14 million. And Doug was like, I mean, when have we ever? How do we go from a fan base who are like, we're underselling our players and then moaning that like we're trying to get every single penny out of them? And I'm glad he did, because now we're not only did we get the money to be able to basically put this squad together, but we're going to get another windfall. Even if Ben Sheaf does go, you know that we've got someone who's going to get maximum money, or he won't be sold. Whereas Sisu in the previous 8 years would have gone, oh yeah. And because they were not putting anything back in to try and get to the promised land. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm buzzing.
Yeah, tons to be excited about, chaps.
Interesting one for you. Just before we end, where do you... Looking at Luton and how they've done this season, if we'd have gone up last year, what do you think would have happened? That'd be the first question. And
I think we'd have stayed up.
Do you?
Yeah, Ross is shaking his head. I did, like, not through any like logic, but just because it'd be such a Mark Robbins thing to do, to keep us up somehow. I don't know how we'd do it. I can't give you like a logical answer, but I just feel like we would have stayed up. But I think Luton still might stay up as well.
Yeah, Luton might. But and also, would you feel more confident had we have gone up maybe this year with the team that we're taking forward? Than perhaps last year.
I mean, yeah, last year would have been it would have been really tough to go up. Like, this is the thing, we talk about losing on penalties at Wembley and all that, but imagine if we had gone up, like how hard it would have been, and we would have had to have a big summer, wouldn't we?
It would have been Sheffield United. I think we'd have set a new points tally, a points record, low points record. I really do, because mate, we were struggling. We were drawing 3-3 with Watford with the same signings we were going to make. When I interviewed Hadji Wright, they were all signing, and it took them months in the Championship to get up to speed. I mean, what on earth? We ain't got time to do that in the Premier League. Robin's coming out going, it's all right. They're just bedding in. Oh, Man City on the weekend.
We've been beat 8-0.
Yeah.
At Luton.
I'm so glad we didn't. When I look at actually the rebuild and what effect, how long it took in the bloody Championship to like come to any some sort of coherence, I think in the Prem,
if we had gone up and not spent any money or just signed the same players, so kind of like leveled out, whatever. But obviously we had a lot more money coming into the club, and then gone straight back down. Would we have been better off now? Because then we've got the same squad, but with a whole massive budget to use in the Championship.
Of course. So overall,
we would have been better, but we might have been annihilated for a season.
I mean, it didn't look that fun when I ever watched the odd Sheffield United game and they're walking out 4-0 down after 30 minutes. I thought, I wonder how long that day, if we'd beat Luton in May, would have lasted with some of our fans when we're getting battered for the umpteenth time at the CBS. I'm sure that day would have gone out of their memory.
It actually crossed my mind last night watching the Ipswich game. So I was thinking about how flat the atmosphere was the game, right? And like, I love our fans, but I'd have to say we are a lot better when we're winning. Like, there's been a lot of games, home and away, where we take the lead and we start singing, and then we sing for like half an hour solid, and then, I don't know, we react off what happens on the pitch, very much so. And it did cross my mind, like, if we were in the Premier League, like, what would the atmospheres be like? Because we go the other way as well, though.
When we get hammered.
True.
When we get hammered, you know, that's when Twist and Shout comes out for 40 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
So what you're saying is, in the Premier League, we just sing Twist and Shout every game non-stop.
Basically, for a season, yeah.
That sounds tiring, doesn't it?
Not as tired as the players are at the moment, though, John.
True. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get there one day, chaps. Cool. Well, that's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks a lot for joining me. And listeners, do make sure you're following our partners, Sky Blue Tavern. Do make sure you get your tables booked for the final day of the season. As always, if you want to get involved in the conversation, then all you need to do is use the hashtag SBEPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, We understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.